the rest of the story. It was a cold March morning in 1886 in a place they called Hell with the Fires Out, the Badlands of the Dakota Territory, and a lawman was stalking his prey. On the books, he was a Billings County deputy sheriff. On the vast, forsaken prairies, he was just plain sheriff. He was the law. Folks say he was mean mad when he heard about the crime, that he was actually riding off alone after the bad guys when two of his own men called out, "Wait for us." And they talked about it, and they decided the fastest way to head off the outlaws would be to build a flatboat and set out on the Little Missouri River, which they did. Now, the sheriff knew well the three men he was hunting, Dutch Chris Pfaffenbach, half-breed Bernstead, and the leader of the gang, Redhead Finnegan. That's Finnegan. He was the dangerous one, man with a violent temper. The sheriff and his men would especially beware of him. The three-man posse had started out during what they believed was a thaw, and yet after days on the river, the temperature had dropped to zero. The great bluffs of the riverbank crouched over the moving water like grim goblin beasts, warning the sheriff to abandon his pursuit. In his mind, the lawman heard these warnings, but he didn't heed them. The afternoon of the third day, he saw what he had been waiting to see, the smoke of a distant campfire curling up through the frosty air, and the sheriff and his men found Dutch Chris alone in the outlaw camp, and he surrendered without a struggle. After about an hour's waiting, the other two, Bernstead and Finnegan, returning to the camp, walked right into the sheriff's trap. Regarding the sheriff with wolfish eyes, Finnegan, his rifle barrel gleaming in the sunlight, considered a shootout. But after a few moments, he thought better of it, and he gave himself up. Bringing the Finnegan gang to justice would be harder than finding them. The sheriff would not be able to bind his prisoners, at least not tightly enough to hold them without freezing their hands and feet in the middle of the night. So the sheriff and his men took turns guarding the outlaws, a half-night's watch each, which guaranteed a full night's sleep every third night. 10 days of treacherous travel lay between them and the nearest town. 10 cold, monotonous days, first on the river through Indian country, then across the desolate prairie by covered wagon. From the beginning of the manhunt to the Main Street jailhouse of Dickinson, the sheriff had covered more than 300 miles. His county fees for the three arrests, $50. But the bad guys got 3 years in the territorial prison at Bismarck. And later folks asked the sheriff why he didn't just shoot the outlaws when he found them, save himself the trouble of bringing them back alive. The sheriff's answer was always the same. "I didn't come out here to kill anyone," he said. But he did mean to see justice done. Now this is the rest of the story. The crime that set the sheriff on the trail of the treacherous Finnegan gang, the crime was that they had stolen the sheriff's little rowboat. And he, the sheriff, who was also a rancher with a river dividing his property, he needed that rowboat. So he went out after three of the baddest bad men in the Dakota Badlands, and he brought them back alive, adding yet another chapter to the real-life saga of a lawman who one day was destined to become our nation's number one lawman, you could say. For the deputy sheriff you've just met today was Teddy Roosevelt. Now you know the rest of the story.